For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I have been teaching on the subject of salvation. This has been my main emphasis when I was preaching to people, because I believe many people do not understand the way of salvation. And another subject I've been preaching on is on the end times, because I firmly believe we need to understand the signs of the times, and we need to know where we are today as far as God's time clock is concerned. But as of late, the Lord God has been nudging me to teach on different subjects: the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the subject on tithing. And I do firmly believe that we, the body of Christ, need to understand these subjects. Years ago, me and my family would be ministering to the homeless on Main Street in Winnipeg. And the Lord God showed me interesting things that were taking place. We saw the power of Satan and we saw the power of God. And over the years, I have noticed that many Christians don't have a clue what's going on. As long as we go to church, as long as we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ then we're okay. Yes, you're okay. But in the meantime, the world is going to hell and it is being destroyed by the powers of Satan. So we need to go on from our salvation. We need to take a step into the realm of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, the message of salvation is very important, and I do not like to stray far from that message. And we need to hold it dear to our hearts. We need to stay near the cross of Calvary and never forget that we are what we are in Christ Jesus. The holiness that we have is because of Christ. Our sonship in God is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not achieve any of that on our own. Whatever we possess and whatever we do has been given to us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to teach on the subject of going on in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the giftings of God. But before we go into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will open the hearts of the listeners today so that they will listen and understand that we have a work to do and we need to learn and teach each other of how to do these things. We need to rely on one another to bring forth what you have called us to do. I thank you, Lord, that you will bless us today. You will anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ has been called to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And we need to understand that the church is made up of a body. Like a person's body, one hand helps the other hand. The eyes show the body where to walk. The mouth speaks. The feet walk. So the body of Christ needs to operate together and to help one another. For without one another's help, we somehow fall short of operating the way we should. Yes, we operate through the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost, but the Lord has given different gifts to the body of Christ. For in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it tells us, for he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for the work of the ministry and the edifying of one another. This is why we need one another in this awesome commission. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 1, it tells us, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permit. So the Apostle Paul is telling us in Hebrews chapter 6, let's step on in this awesome revelation that God has given us. We already know on how to be saved. We already know about the resurrection from the dead. We already know about the laying on of hands. So let's take a step forwards. In other words, we need to learn how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like a child needs to learn how to walk. And I want to inform those of you who are listening, who are taking this to heart here, there are times you're going to fall, but don't be dismayed. The Lord will lift you up. It's just like a child when it starts to learn to walk. It'll fall. The parents help it up. The parent would not at all like it if the child would be afraid and never learn to walk, because at the age of 16, he would still have to be carried around. So God expects us to learn to walk. And if we don't learn to walk, then we're basically useless to him, and all we have is what the Lord has given us at salvation. We cannot work in his fields. We cannot bring in the lost because we have never learned to walk. It tells us in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So he is telling us here, if we don't, then we can teach others. We should all already be teachers. But how can you be a teacher? How can you eat meat if you've only been drinking milk? You cannot digest the meat. You cannot go out and bring people into the kingdom if you have to be reminded all the time that you are saved and how you are saved. And I have seen that with many Christians. They, for some reason, cannot grasp the fact that they belong to God. You have to give them message after message that they are born again. You have to pat them on the back and tell them they're okay because they place their faith in Jesus Christ. They cannot seem to get away from that point. I do not know why, but that it seems to be the case of many Christians. They are simply walking in one spot. They are not moving ahead. They are still drinking milk and trying to digest it. They cannot take the strong meat. It tells us, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." If you are not sure of your salvation yet, if you still need the milk of the word, if you still need somebody to teach you over and over again about salvation, then you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. This is what the Bible teaches here. If you are not sure about your salvation yet, you are not skilled in anything of the word of God. You cannot be, because you don't understand salvation yet. It tells us in verse 14, "For strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even these who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So if you understand your salvation and you're ready to go out and minister the word of God to people, let's say you become a missionary, you go out in the fields of the Lord and you start operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, then it tells us here that you have exercised the use of your senses. You then become qualified to teach others, because by your exercise, you have become strong, and you yourself can then become a teacher of others on how to come into the kingdom of God and how to teach others to bring people into the kingdom of God. Yes, this is what the word of God teaches us here. If we know the way of salvation, if we have the milk of the word and we can digest it and we know how to apply it to our hearts and it has brought us into a standing with God, then we should start stepping away into the work of God and start doing the things that God has called us to do. If we don't, we remain useless, even though we're born again by the Spirit of the living God. Over the years, I have talked to people about different things. Today there are many churches that are far left or far right. Some teach questionable doctrines, and many people are afraid of stepping out and having fellowship with people like that. To me, it does not matter where you stand. I can fellowship with anybody because I know where my feet are planted. I am planted in Jesus Christ, and I know that neither life nor death nor principalities nor power will be able to shake me off that foundation. So I can walk with joy, and I can walk with an assured heart, knowing who I am in Christ, knowing what I've got, and I can worship with whoever I want to. It doesn't matter if he's far right or far left or in the middle or has strange doctrines. It will not affect me because I know who I am in Christ. Of course, the Bible teaches, he that thinketh he standeth, pay attention that you do not fall. And I take that very serious. But I am saying with the Apostle Paul, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me what I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, the Lord will keep me. He will keep me from whatever deception there is if I walk close to him and make sure that I have a relationship with him. There is no reason for people to be afraid. We don't run from things. We resist the devil and he will run from us. This is the way to operate when you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, a relationship with Jesus will make you confident. And this is my advice. If you, regardless wherever you are in your walk with God, do not neglect the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. If you will keep close to him, then you will not have to worry about the storms that are around you. For the Lord God is there to pull you up when you start to sink. Yes, we know that's true, for the Lord has given us a record of it in the Gospels. Yes, I want to speak to you today, those of you who are fearful of making mistakes. Have a relationship with God, and that fear will leave. You don't have to be afraid of things. You can rejoice in life and walk in holiness and in the power of his might. He will give you the grace and the power to bring forth what he has called you to do. Yes, God is an awesome God. He empowers us and he gives us the grace to bring forth what we set out to do. Yes, Jesus is a person that we need to get to know. And once we know him, he is not only for our salvation, he is an awesome God that wants to have fellowship with us and wants to lead us in this path of righteousness that we are on. Yes, the Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Seek to honor his command. final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the flag with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance.
Over the years, I have been listening to many teachers of the Word of God, and I have to admit, I had my favorites. But as you grow in the Word of God, and as you start seeing the operation of God in your own life, then all of a sudden, your favorite teachers start to conflict with the Word of God, and you have to start making decisions. Who do I trust and believe? Do I trust my teachers or do I trust the Word of God? For me, that is no problem. I will always lean to the Word of God, regardless how you enjoy some preacher's teachings. We need to understand that we are followers of Christ and not of men. I will give you an example. I used to listen to this preacher who had an awesome salvation message, and his teaching on the end times was fantastic. But when it came to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, to my opinion, he conflicted with the Bible. He taught there was no such a thing as speaking in tongues today. There is no such a thing as casting out devils today. There's no such a thing as laying on of hands and healings today. All of these things he would teach went out with the apostles. Well, when I study scripture, though, the Bible teaches us that Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17. Not only pray I for these alone, but for them that will believe through their words. And he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, casting out devils and healing the sick. That is still a command from God, and it'll stay a command throughout the ages until he comes back. So whoever the teacher is that teaches that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit went out with the apostles, his teachings are conflicting with the Word of God. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if any man teaches otherwise and consents not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strifes, revelings, and evil suspicions. And this is what those kinds of teaching causes. If a teacher does not consent to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that he is a proud person. And I want to show you what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. In John chapter 14, verse 12, The Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then the Apostle Paul and Peter and all those who write the epistles go on to teach us how to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost, doing the work of God that he has commissioned us to do. So the question I have for you, what will you do with what I just taught here? Will you start to seek the power and the giftings of the Holy Spirit for your life? Yes, you know you're born again. Yes, you are baptized already. Yes, you believe in eternal judgment that will come to the unbeliever. Yes, you do understand salvation and how to become saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you understand that. But it's time for the Christian to start to mature and move on in the giftings of the Holy Ghost that God has shed on us abundantly. But it's not going to happen if you will not do something about it. Salvation is given to you. God finished the job at Calvary, and once you accept it, it is completed in you. You are then sealed unto the day of redemption. But the power, the seed of power of the Holy Ghost that he has placed within us, the giftings of the Holy Ghost, it is up to us to bring them into fruition and start operating in the way that our Lord has commanded us. Each and every one has this commission. And we, the Christian, will someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we did with the seeds that the Lord Jesus planted in us on the day of our redemption. Did we bring them into operation, or did we just leave them lying there dormant through our Christian life on this planet? Yes, judgment is just around the corner. We are fast running out of time. So I am encouraging each and every one to start speaking and seeking the ways that God has shown us. The Lord will open your heart and make you a blessing to many around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Oh, we hope we have you.